Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, the defense rests. I want to see Governor Andy Cuomo doing an interview with his brother from a jail cell wearing an orange jumpsuit. Wouldn't that be nice? And then Star Wars / Disney / Chinese concentration camps. We'll talk about that. Planned Parenthood finding another way to make money off of human misery. And then a really, really insightful article in Newsweek that was an op-ed having to do with Planned Parenthood. Yet another scheme for Planned Parenthood to make money off of human misery that deals with transgenderism. And then a couple of, especially the Ravi Zacharias story, which is horrendous, just heartbreaking, dark, confusing, yet not. So I'm gonna end up there. A little bit about John MacArthur and us eating our own. And then we'll finish with the devotional that I wrote this morning, continuing almost another couple of weeks we'll be done in the Gospel of John. And this morning's gospel, daily dose out of John was in John chapter 19. So we're post-crucifixion, Jesus is dead on the cross. And I entitled it, Out of the Closet. So I want to share that with you before we finish the show together today. But so much to talk about. So I entitled the show today, Heartbroken and or Enraged. It's a little bit of both. But that's just the deal here today in America, is it not? Now, just so you know, the defense rested earlier, just about a half an hour or so ago. And Trump's defense team and the so-called impeachment and the so-called Senate and the so-called Congress. And that was amusing. I watched a decent amount of that earlier today. And then I was watching part of it on Twitter, which was an ABC feed with Stephanopoulos, who hasn't been a journalist in probably 30 years. But it was just, it's so enraging when you watch any of the mainstream media and then they come out of a live coverage and the defense team for Trump arrested. And then Stephanopoulos says, well, that was an angry presentation. As compared to the Democrats, not angry, unhinged, cray-cray the whole time. And then that one thing was untrue. I'm like, are you on the prosecutorial team, Mr. Stephanopoulos? Of course, the answer to that is yes. So that was ridiculous. So now they're going into their Q&A period, which will go for hours. I have better things to do this afternoon, especially spending time with you. And we'll see how long that lasts. And then what happens on Monday, Tuesday, hopefully get this big joke wrapped up soon and move on. But I want to see, how about this? Can I get an amen for seeing Governor Andy Cuomo perp walked? And maybe he'll do another show with his brother Chris on CNN from behind bars. Wouldn't that be nice? This is just getting worse. This is from a New York Post story. Will we ever see justice? I mean, it's like it's dead in America. Governor Andy Cuomo's top aide privately apologized to Democratic lawmakers. What about the families of all these people? For withholding the state's nursing home death toll from COVID-19, telling them, quote, we froze out of fear that the true numbers would be used against us by federal prosecutors, i.e. Donald Trump. The stunning admission of a cover-up was made by Secretary to the Governor, Melissa DeRosa, during a video conference call with state Democratic leaders in which she said the Cuomo administration had rebuffed a legislative request for the tally in August because, quote unquote, right around the same time, then President Donald Trump turns this into a giant political football. He starts tweeting that we killed everyone in nursing homes, DeRosa said. He starts going after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, starts going after Gavin Newsom, starts going after Gretchen Whitmer. Oh, yeah, that's the most important thing here for the liberals is politics, not people. Obviously, from the womb to the tomb. In addition to attacking Cuomo's fellow Democratic governors, DeRosa said Trump directs the Department of Justice to do an investigation into us. And basically, she said, we froze. Because then we were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice, you know, could be used against us. That played a very large role into this. You know what didn't play a large role? Care for their own citizens, care for the elderly, care for the truth, care for the rule of law. Care at all. Because the only thing that matters on the left and for a decent amount of people on the right is politics. Why do you think Andy Cuomo, when he was presiding over the legislative actions in the state of New York when they literally lit the city up pink, One World Trade Center, the Empire State Building, when they passed their butcherous abortion laws, allowing for abortion literally right up to the moment of delivery, and they clapped. So is this really any surprise? No. They don't care about people. They only care about power. So all they really cared about was saving their political hides, right? And where's Joe Biden in all this? Here's another story. This is good. New York State lawmaker, New York Assemblyman Michael Montesano said he plans to ask the state to consider impeaching. Okay, that's an impeachment I can get behind. Quote, this news of the last several days is extremely troubling to me, and I'm going to be asking today for his resignation. And I'm also going to be asking the legislature to look into exploring filing articles of impeachment against the governor if he doesn't resign. Good. This is now criminal, Montesano, a Republican, said. The governor wants to talk about how our attacks on him are political. They're not political. This we've had an inkling all the while that they were covering stuff up, and now she admitted that she's covered stuff up. He's talking about the governor's assistant because she knew the Department of Justice has an active investigation going on. She's obstructing an investigation, he said. This is what makes it even more troubling. New York lawmakers at the state and federal levels have been ramping up pressure against the governor, calling for him to resign. Quote, resignation is one thing, and I have to be frank with you, he's too arrogant to think about doing that. He's for himself, not for these people, Montesano told Fox News. Absolutely. This is not about truth for them. It's not about people. It's not about elderly. It certainly isn't, as they've proven before, about human life at all. It's just about power, their own. So where's Biden in all of this? Where's Biden? Here's what President Biden had to say. All right, thanks for that. But back last April, when Joe Biden, then candidate Joe Biden, was on the Tonight Show, here's what he said. Cuomo was, quote, sort of the gold standard, unquote, when it comes to handling the coronavirus. That's what then candidate Biden said last April. Cuomo's the gold standard. And what's Biden saying now? Absolutely nothing. And Cuomo, who's lied about, covered up, and frankly didn't care about the death of now 15,000 elderly, 15,049. And those are Joe Biden's peeps. And where's he? They were just left to die. And Cuomo, by his actions, essentially used COVID-positive elderly patients as suicide bombers. That's what he did, in effect, and sent them back in, and 15,000 of them are dead. This guy needs to be perpois. Please, Lord, let justice flow. We'll be right back. Isn't that just a nice, jazzy groove from Steely Dan? I appreciate that. On a day when I'm enraged, heartbroken, all kinds of emotional things, because that's what the world throws at us right now. So going from the let's just pray, dear Lord, once again, we just ask and pray humbly for justice to flow down like a river. I mean, wherever it needs to flow. It needs to flow in Ravi Zacharias' ministry and in his life. As much as it does in any other place, whether you're inside or outside the church, in my life, anybody else's life, Lord, we pray for justice and holiness and truth and with Cuomo and everything else going on. Lord, just please help our nation, but help the church and help us as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you probably don't know, most of you probably don't know who Gina Carano is. She used to do mixed martial arts fighting and stuff, and she kind of got an acting career and stuff. And then she was on the really, really successful, because most of you know I'm a Star Wars geek, just if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, look behind me, and you'll see some Star Wars stuff. So Disney Plus is really cashing in on all of that. They own the Star Wars franchise, and she had a big part in the series called The Mandalorian, but then they fired her on Wednesday. Okay, so lots of stories here. From this angle, on this particular aspect of it, and some things to unpack here, and the hypocrisy, just so you have some discernment and you can see what's going on when you pull the curtains back. Disney fired Carano on Wednesday over an image the actress posted on her Instagram depicting a Jewish woman running from Nazi guards with the caption. Oh, see, now the left can use the Nazi thing all day long, but if you're on the right, you can't. Okay, you might want to make yourself a note of that on your iPhone. Jews were beaten in the streets. Not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children, she posted. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that To get the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How's that any different from hating someone for their political views? Now, she's been hammered over the last couple of years. She's very outspoken with her politics and stuff. And there's some things that she's tweeted, and I'm like, eh. But hello, that we used to call that the First Amendment right, right? That was like you used to be on a playground. Hey, I have freedom of speech, man. I can say whatever I want, which for the most part is true. Well, it used to be. Shapiro, Ben Shapiro from the Daily Wire, highlighted the incident on his podcast talking about it. And they tie back in here in a second. So I'm going to bring this back around full circle. Social movements have consequences. And we are now in the middle of a mass social movement to expel half the American population from the body politic, Shapiro added. He's absolutely right, of course. Just a reminder, Disney canned Carano for an overwrought Holocaust comparison. They brought back James Gunn, a director, despite these tweets, his tweets. I defended both from cancellation. Would be nice to see Gunn and company defend Carano, Shapiro tweeted. Not okay at Disney Plus making overwrought Holocaust comparisons on social media. This is still Shapiro tweeting here. Totally okay at Disney Plus working with government shipping people to concentration camps where women are forcibly sterilized. What? What is, Ben, dude, what are you talking about? What is that all about? Well, Disney in the movie Mulan, not the original animated one, the live action one. Mulan, part of it was shot in China by Disney. One of the first incidents, they've had a bunch of problems over there because of this, was with lead actor Liu Yifei. Voiced support on social media for the Hong Kong police during the city's pro-democracy protests. Oh, if you're going to get in bed with China, you can't do that, Disney. Then it was later revealed in the film's credits, this is Mulan, the live-action one, that parts of the film were shot in a place called Xinjiang, a province in China that has become notorious for being the region where Uyghur Muslims, a Turkish-speaking ethnic minority, live under a brutal system of oppression and human rights abuses. Oh, but we're Disney. We're family-friendly, the happiest place on earth, except if you're a Uyghur in China. So what's going on over there, Disney? I'll tie this to Tim Cook and Apple in a second. The Chinese government has reportedly detained, get this, more than 1 million Muslims, these are the Uyghurs, in re-education camps, quote-unquote. Isn't that what AOC was talking about here for people like me and you? Probably. Some 800,000 to 2 million Uyghurs and other Muslims, including ethnic Kazakhs and Uzbeks, have been detained since April 2017. So let's go shoot part of our movie, Disney says, in that part of China. No problem. But if you're a conservative and you say, you're gone, right? Most people in the camps have never been charged with crimes and have no legal avenues to challenge their detentions. Detainees are forced to pledge loyalty to the CCP and renounce Islam, as well as sing praises for communism and learn Mandarin. You see why she would start comparing this to concentration camps in terms of what's happening in our own nation. I know it's a stretch, but it's not like from one universe to another. Others said they were tortured and subjected to sleep deprivation during interrogations. Women have shared stories of sexual abuse, with some saying they were forced to undergo abortions or to have contraceptive devices implanted against their will. Children whose parents have been sent to the camps are often forced to stay in state-run orphanages. This is in China. This is where Disney, who's now getting all bent out of shape and fired Gina Carano, made part of their movie, Mulan. That's what they did. Disney. And now they have the moral high ground? They have no moral ground whatsoever. None. They have none. Which reminded me of the deal a few years back when we were doing the bathroom bill stuff here in North Carolina. And Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, was blasting away at North Carolina. I was like, this is interesting, an openly homosexual man blasting away at North Carolina for our bathroom bill stuff. I wonder if Apple's doing business in places and countries that hate and abuse and arrest and torture and kill homosexuals. So I went online. Thank you, Google. And I found out that Apple doesn't have not one, not two, not three, but 12 stores in Saudi Arabia where they routinely arrest and even chemically castrate homosexual men. And Tim Cook is fine with Apple making money there. How much moral authority does Tim Cook have? None. And he's an open homosexual himself. And I looked a little further and found that they were trying to negotiate with Iran, thank you, President Obama, to get Apple to do business there. Iran's even worse than Saudi Arabia with the way they treat homosexuals. But we wanted to, here in North Carolina, limit a men's bathrooms to, you know, men, people with outies, and women's bathroom to women, people with innies. And all of a sudden, we're terrible. What an immoral, horrible state we live in. Tim Cook, really? And then this whole thing with the Nazis, like I said earlier, if you're on the right, you can't use it. But on the left, apparently you can. Joe Biden in September of 2020. Trump is sort of like Goebbels, Biden said, invoking the name of Joseph Goebbels, the mastermind of Nazi Germany's propaganda machine. That's fine, though. AOC, June 2018. The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. And that's exactly what they are. They're concentration camps. Really? Can you be that stupid? Ignorant? Apparently so. Don Lemon, speaking with fellow CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon said, suggested President Donald Trump's rhetoric on immigration could lead him down the same path as Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler, saying it starts with little lies. And then Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, pushed back on him, and then he kept going. Lemon doubled down. Jim Clyburn, speaking with CNN's Chris Cuomo, House Majority Whip Clyburn, compared Trump's refusal to concede to what Hitler did in Germany. Quote, I'm beginning to see what happened in Germany back in the 1930s. I never thought that could happen in this country, he said. How do you elect a person, a president, then all of a sudden you're going to give him the authority to be a dictator? That's what Hitler did in Germany. Then Beto O'Rourke, why are we even talking about him? Outside of the Third Reich, he said, give me another example of a Western leader, he's talking about Trump, who has called people of one faith inherently defective or dangerous or disqualified from being successful in that country, O'Rourke continued. Great. So just remember, if you happen to be a Democrat, if you're a liberal, you can call me a Nazi all you want, but if you're a Republican, don't you dare go there. There is a happy ending. I'll tell you that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'll get to the happy ending here of the Gina Carano story in just a second. I wanted to read this is the last chapter or the last paragraph from Matt Walsh. He's with the Daily Wire, works with Ben Shapiro. About this, the left proves Gina Carano's point by canceling her, and which is her point, is that what the Nazis didn't just start rounding up Jews and putting them in concentration camps. They got numerous people, an enormous portion of the population, just to hate Jews for hating them. So neighbors were abusing them and turning them in, and that made it that much easier for the troops to come in. So that's what she's saying. It's with our cancel culture today, and just because you're a Trump supporter or white or male or a Republican, that people will hate you just because of that. They don't know you. They don't know anything about you, especially if you're a Christian like me, a Christian that voted for Trump twice. What kind of Christian are you? I'd be happy to have that conversation with you if I want to waste my time. But that's what they're doing here over and over and over again. And it's only going to get worse. So this is Walsh's last paragraph. Carano isn't being shipped off to a death camp, but her case does demonstrate the sort of dehumanization that has become so common in our culture. She's being lied about and defamed, smeared as an anti-Semite by people who, if they are illiterate, must know that what they're saying is untrue. Actually, I would disagree with Matt, with you on that one. I think people can be so given over, they're absolutely convinced that what they're doing is true, and it's right, and it's good, and it's beautiful. Go to lovelife.org and come join us tomorrow morning, because the Christian life wasn't meant to be comfortable, so even it's going to be cold and rainy and yucky tomorrow in big chunks of the country and here in North Carolina. Come out with us anyway. You're going to be standing there at 9 a.m. across the street, literally, from an abortion mill, and they look at you, and they are 100% convinced, not thinking, this is the position I need to take. No, they believe this, that we are evil, hateful, spiteful, want to rip a woman's right to her own body away from her. We're like misogynistic, patriarchal, abusive people. They are 100% convinced of it. And the left is 100% convinced, like we've seen since January 6th, that if you support Trump at any level, you're just as bad. You might as well have been in there yourself and killed somebody. Just absolute guilt by association to the nth degree. So I don't think they know what they're saying is untrue. I think they totally believe it. But they honestly believe, Matt writes, that anyone who disagrees with them deserves this treatment. That's for sure. They do not recognize any moral obligation or standard when dealing with the cultural heretics. The only goal is to shut them down, shut them up, and cast them out by whatever means necessary. Cancel, deplatform, Veritas, James O'Keefe, Twitter permanently banned him today or yesterday. Impeachment, whatever. Ironically, the point Carano was making in her supposedly offensive Instagram post has been aptly illustrated by the outraged response to it. Here's the upside. Gina Carano to produce and star in an upcoming film for The Daily Wire. She cut that deal with Ben Shapiro. We announced it earlier today. How cool is that? She's always wanted to make a movie. Now she's going to. The anti-Semite conservative making a movie with a Jew and an observant one at that, Ben Shapiro. Huh, that's an interesting thing. All right. So Planned Parenthood. Worker warns kids claiming trans identity are being used as cash cows. Is that a surprise to anyone? The staffer who spoke on condition of anonymity. So I was saying outraged and enraged and heartbroken today. This is both. The staffer who spoke on condition of anonymity recounted an interview with journalist Abigail Schreier, how she felt morally conflicted about the volume of young people coming into the clinic claiming a transgender identity and yet showed signs of emotional and mental health issues. Those, by the way, go hand in hand. She also expressed great concern over the speed at which they were being prescribed cross-sex hormones such as testosterone. The young clients were prescribed hormones with almost no examination of their underlying problems, and medical oversight was practically non-existent. The Planned Parenthood employee said she's fully supportive of abortion rights, noted that abortions were the bread and butter for clinics. But now she said, quote, trans-identifying kids are cash cows. So whether they're we're going to kill them in the womb or pump them full of these types of drugs out of the womb, whatever. Just like Cuomo, whatever. It's about political power. It's not about life. It's not about, certainly not about morality. Kids are cash cows and they're kept on the hook for their foreseeable future in terms of follow-up appointments, blood work, meetings, etc., whereas abortions are hopefully a one-and-done situation. Mary Zock, director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council, said for years, talking about Planned Parenthood, they have exploited women and killed unborn babies for the sake of making money. Filthy lucre. I added that. They have denied that scientific fact that abortion takes the life of an unborn child, and so it shouldn't shock anyone that once again Planned Parenthood is willing to put profits over people. No kidding. But now they're in the trans business. Now, here's another article. Puberty blockers stunt children's bone growth, research finds. That was in the Christian Post. To which Planned Parenthood and people on the left say, who cares? Right? Who cares? Because we're making money, which gives us power to change the culture. And the Bible is true. We talked about biblical inerrancy yesterday. It's 100% true. And if you know it, if you spent time studying it, this stuff will be enraging and heartbreaking because of it, but also you'll understand what's going on here with human depravity and being given over and the nature of lies and the devil who often masquerades as an angel of light. So they're thinking, I'm protecting a woman whilst dismembering a baby. How do you get there? That's what Romans 1 is talking about, being given over to a reprobate mind, whether it's sexual issues, transgenderism issues. It makes perfect sense. I don't feel good about it, but it makes sense. This was an amazing article. It showed up in Newsweek by somebody named Scott Nugent. This just came out the other day. We need balance when it comes to gender dysphoric kids. I would know, says the author. I'm a 48-year-old transgender man. I was thrilled when the medical community. Now listen, this is very important. Especially as the whole transgender movement thing is just on fire right now, kind of like gay marriage was several years ago. I was thrilled, he writes, when the medical community told me 6 years ago that I could change from a woman to a man. I was informed about all the wonderful things that would happen due to medical transition, but all the negatives were glossed over. Since then, I've suffered tremendously, including 7 surgeries, a pulmonary embolism, an induced stress heart attack, sepsis, a 17-month recurring infection, 16 rounds of antibiotics, 3 weeks of daily IV antibiotics, arm reconstructive surgery, lung, heart, and bladder damage, insomnia, hallucinations, PTSD, $1 million in medical expenses, and loss of home, car, career, and marriage. All this. And yet I cannot sue the surgeon responsible, in part because there's no structured, tested, or widely accepted baseline for transgender healthcare. Not for 42-year-olds and not for the many minors embarking on medical transition in record numbers. It is not transphobic or discriminatory to discuss this. We as a society need to fully understand what we are encouraging our children to do to their bodies. This, how do you not listen to this guy? Okay? And by the way, I know of a school here in the Triangle area of North Carolina where the teacher, this is like third or fourth grade, forced all the kids to clap as they did kind of a transgender reveal announcement for one of the kids in the classroom. And the parents were involved of the kid. And, oh, Billy's now going to be called Cindy or whatever. And she made all the other little kids clap. You know what we're doing to these kids? These children are not only being brainwashed, they're being deceived. Like Molech, open wide, buddy. We got some more sacrifices for you. Please, Lord, help us. Throughout transition, he writes, I second-guessed my decisions, but each counseling session and doctor's appointment amounted to one more push, convincing me I could be cured of being born in the wrong body. The dream of finally fitting in dangled like a carrot. The idea that I could fit in catapulted me to a time much like adolescence with its drive for acceptance, inclusive peers, and the fantasy of being normal. During my post-operation 17 months of sheer survival, I discovered that transgender healthcare is experimental and that large swaths of the medical industry encourage minors to transition due, at least part, to fat profit margins. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. I was gobsmacked. Each day I researched more and more and became increasingly appalled. My recurring bladder infection not only demolished my body, it started to ravage my mind too. I stopped being able to problem solve and then lost my health insurance when I couldn't work. I spent many nights in the bathroom in too much pain to even make it to the toilet, forced to urinate on the floor. Sorry, I just got to tell you the truth. Screaming at what felt like razor blades left my body. Rest came only in 45-minute increments that I induced with 4 shots of vodka, 6 Benadryl pills, and a handful of melatonin, with only sleep-deprived hallucinations for my trouble. This is what we're doing to ourselves and each other and our children. Now, you can talk about impeachment and stuff all day, but how often do we lament and mourn over this stuff? Most of the time, we don't even pay attention. One night, I simply couldn't take it. He said, I wanted to die. I crawled to bed and had another hallucination. Right then, my children's lives flashed before my eyes, he said, and I saw the devastation my death would cause them. Right then, I made a deal with God, the universe, whatever, that if my life were spared and if I were allowed to be here for my kids, I would help other kids by ensuring people knew what the experimentation of transgender healthcare really entails. I remember my whimpers, quote, God, an eye for an eye, in reverse. I will fight with a mother's passion for others if I can be here for my kids. And a few other things for this, and then we'll move on to another just really heartbreaking, difficult, dark story about Ravi Zacharias. And what Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A few times in the last 6 months, I've been shocked by some of these articles that I've seen show up in Newsweek, and certainly this one maybe pushed to the top of the list. We need balance when it comes to gender dysphoric kids. I would know. The author is Scott Nugent, a transgender man. That means Scott was born a woman and believes she was supposed to be a man. So she went through sex reassignment surgery, and she's unpacking in this article. He is Scott, whatever. Yeah, Scott Nugent. Just call him Scott. I'm not going to get into all the pronoun stuff right now. Just unbelievably heartbreaking, tragic, holocaustic, I will use that, Nazi-esque, in the experimentation going on here with human bodies. And now pushing it down to kids and encouraging kids. It's now a social contagion. I was asking my friends on Facebook Live, plus people on YouTube as well, YouTube Live. You can be the Steve Noble Show on Facebook or YouTube. And 16% of the people right now in the Facebook Live audience know of somebody or another family member, a friend, coworker, somebody dealing with transgenderism. But transgenders only make up 0.7% of the U.S. population at best. But yet 16% of the people on Facebook Live right now know of somebody. This is a social contagion now. And so for a lot of young people, they're confused anyway. That's what the teen years are all about. And that now it becomes like, now it's kind of trendy. Hey, what gender are you? Hey, what? I don't know. Maybe that's, I'm this today, I'm that tomorrow. I'm gender fluid, man. Wow, you're so free, but you're not. Here's what I could not comprehend before transitioning, Scott writes, and what I honestly believe no child is capable of consenting to. That's for sure. Decreased life expectancy, increased risk of premature death from heart attacks and pulmonary embolisms, possible liver damage, increased mental health complications, increased chances of mood syndrome symptoms, higher suicide rates than non-trans population. By the way, of course, Planned Parenthood, just satanic to the core, making money off of this. 12% higher chance than non-trans population to develop symptoms of psychosis, a chance of stunted brain development, on and on and on it goes. Moreover, no long-term studies have been conducted on children who grow up without the benefit of natural puberty. Peer-reviewed studies show a shocking correlation between gender dysphoria and autism, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and other comorbidities. Just crying out from his experience. And he's saying, America's proceeding down its path of total affirmation just as other countries are restoring greater balance. Please, Lord Jesus, come back soon. He writes, so now we're waking up to the fact that transgender dysphoria is oversimplistically conflated with transgenderism. Some are getting rich off transgender medicine, and detransitioners are speaking up in skyrocketing numbers. It's just heartbreaking. So endocrinologists and pediatricians, moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans, radical feminists and evangelicals, lawyers and psychologists, parents and teachers. My hand is out, he writes. I will grab yours and turn down no one. Together we can build a circle around our most precious resource, our children. Help me fulfill the promise I made on the night I almost gave up to be here for my children and now yours. Who's with me, he writes. So I just shared this article, by the way, on Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook Live. I shared the article. We Need Balance When It Comes to Gender Dysphoric Kids by Scott Nugent, N-E-W-G-E-N-T. If you know anybody dealing with this issue, please get this article to them. Let them hear it from somebody that's gone down that road themselves. Also, my friend Walt Heyer. You want to email me, get connected with somebody? Walt Heyer, who's now 80, same thing. Started when he was 4, transgendered, a sex reassignment surgery, came back from as much as he could. He'll talk to you. He'll help you. He'll walk with your loved one. He's helping two people detransition. One's 19 and one's 20 right now. Please, Lord. How often do we lament? And I'm just going to change the channel and watch something on Netflix. We need to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. And I don't get emotionally affected enough by this. It's like weeping and gnashing of teeth. Rip my shirt open. Please, Lord. And then this, have you been following the whole Robbie Zacharias thing? It's just horrendous. Robbie Zacharias, I learned so much from him. So much. And surely a man above reproach, but not. I mean, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and a half pages from Christianity Today, published just yesterday, February 11th. And all this horrific stuff for years, all over the world. His old devices revealed contacts with more than 200 massage therapists. And he was abusing people all over the world. Just sexual deviancy to a whole nother level. I mean, all over the place. I mean, you're just reading it going, what? 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 No, what? Robbie engaged in a series of extensive measures to conceal his behavior from his family, colleagues, and friends. However, we also recognize this is the board. That in situations of prolonged abuse, there often exists significant structural policy and cultural problems. We were trusted by our staff, our donors, and the public to mentor, oversee, and ensure the accountability of Robbie Zacharias. And in this, we have failed. The whole thing's falling apart. He was involved with this up till weeks before he died. Zacharias spoke about the importance of physical safeguards to protect his integrity, but the Miller and Martin report notes that as the architect of those physical safeguards, Mr. Zacharias well knew how to elude them. Many who looked up to Zacharias as a mentor, model, and spiritual father have been trying to grapple with the new information, their feelings of betrayal, and questions about their own responsibility. As my rather bright oldest kid said today, my son, Hayden, there's only room for one person on the throne. There's only room for one. And it's Jesus Christ, the only perfect God-man to ever exist. Everybody else, failure, sinner, depraved, everybody else, all of us. However, and this is one of the things I think we've really struggled with, is we're in kind of a hyper-grace reality now that we just go, oh, well, the blood of the Lamb, man. The blood of the Lamb covers it all. So we don't take holiness all that seriously. I know I don't. There's times when I do. Usually when I get caught in my own sin, whatever, big or little, then you're like, oh, Lord, I repent again. And that, do we take holiness all that seriously? I don't think we do. I hope you do. There are times when I do, but usually I have to be painted into the corner to do it. Which is why, in the grand scheme of the gospel, only the blood of God himself in the form of Jesus Christ would be powerful enough to overcome this level of darkness and depravity and sin from somebody that most of evangelical Christianity absolutely looked up to, him, the greatest apologist in 100 years, like the Apostle Paul, Ravi Zacharias, man. And he's a sexual degenerate all the time for years all over the world. Because we talk about power corrupting and power, absolute power corrupting, absolutely. You don't think power can corrupt a Christian? As my friend Dr. Bob Record said years ago, he said, hey, Steve, every person on the planet's one step away from stupid. How could you be so stupid? That's so stupid. How could you be so stupid? How could he be so stupid? How could she be so stupid? We're all one step away from stupid. A Puritan writer once said, the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. The seed of every sin exists in every human heart. You think you're not capable of that stuff? You are. But by the grace of God, man. Another reason to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? And please, Lord, and repent and be broken. Just broken. We're enraged all the time, but how often are we heartbroken? How often do we lament over stuff like this? Maybe we should all read Lamentations over the weekend because I think we all need a reminder. All right, I wrote this morning. We've been working through the Gospel of John. John 19:39, I entitled it, Out of the Closet. Short little verse. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. He was there with Joseph of Arimathea, right? Remember that? Here's what I wrote. Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, the Pharisee, had been secret disciples of Jesus, but not anymore. Joseph went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus and then met Nicodemus at Golgotha. They took Jesus down and carried him to the garden tomb to give him the best Jewish burial they could in the short few hours they had before sundown and the beginning of the Sabbath. Their love for Jesus and belief in his ministry was officially out of the closet. Is yours? It must have been a gruesome and difficult job pulling Jesus down off that cross. I'm sure it was no easy task for these influential men to have to remove the spikes from his hands and his feet. Can you imagine? It can be difficult to remove a few nails for a project at home, but iron spikes that were 7 to 9 inches in length, driven through flesh and bone and into hard timber? It was probably the most strenuous manual labor these men had done in years. Yet they did it, and they did it publicly. The sweat that dropped, the tears that flowed, the blood that smeared all over their expensive tunics. What a mess. But what a privilege. Considering these two men, Charles Spurgeon wrote, quote, fear which leads us to conceal our faith is an evil thing. Be a disciple by all means, but not secretly. You miss a great part of your life's purpose if you are. Above all, do not be a disciple secretly because of the fear of man, for the fear of man bringeth a snare. If you are the slave of such fear, it demeans you, belittles you, and prevents you from giving due glory to God, unquote. You will never know. This is the Daily Dose devotional I wrote this morning. Hey, Steve, can I get those shirts? Just text the word DOSE to 66866. D-O-S-E, just text that to 66866 or go to thestevenobleshow.com and you can get it online. You will never know the fullness of joy available to you as a child of the risen King if you choose to remain a camouflage Christian. Jesus said, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'll acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 10. If you really understand what Christ has done for you, how can you possibly hide that reality in your daily comings and goings? What are you afraid of? God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, and he won't. Will you do the same for him? Will you do it publicly and without shame? I sure hope so. Okay, this is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again on Monday. As my dad always used to say, ever forward.